This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Of all the stories in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, one of the most exciting, from chapter 3, is about the crossing of the Jordan River. You need to know that the Jordan River was at flood stage. That's significant. And some 500,000 to perhaps a million people, Israelites, crossed from the east side of the Jordan River over to the west side into the Promised Land by the hand of God. It's a remarkable story. But more than that, we're going to talk about the uncrossable rivers in your life and in my life. What are the uncrossable rivers you face today, this week, this year? We're going to talk about the uncrossable rivers in your life. An uncrossable river is anything in your life that you can't get over. It's something in your life that can be a problem. It could be a past situation. And I'll give you three of them in a few minutes that you can write down that you just can't seemingly cross over. And the same God that helped the people of God to cross the River Jordan, the uncrossable river at flood stage, is the same God that can help you and me to cross uncrossable rivers in our lives. I want to bring up verse 5 if we can. If we can bring up verse 5 again, because this is an important verse. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Let me tell you what's important about this verse. We live in a culture of people who want God to do things for them. I want God to do things for me. You want God to do things for you. You want God to do things in your family. You want God to do things in your marriage. You want God to do things at work. We all do, and that's normal. We're encouraged to ask for that. But listen carefully. You know where the problem comes? We don't want to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. You say, what does that mean? The people of God were told to pray. They were told to prepare themselves spiritually. They were told to get themselves ready because tomorrow the Lord's going to do some amazing things among you. I don't want to read too much into this. But is it possible we want God to do something in our life, but we don't want to consecrate our lives to Him? We want God to act. God, don't ask me to do anything. God, I want you to perform this miracle in my life, but don't ask me to dedicate my life to you. Don't ask me to dedicate what I own to you. Don't ask me to do anything for you. And I just think there's a principle here that many ministers have skipped when I've heard this talked about. We are to consecrate ourselves to the Lord in preparation for the Lord doing amazing things in our presence. That's the thought. I want to give you a lesson about leadership, spiritual leadership from verse 7, if we could bring up verse 7. This is the hidden lesson of leadership. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." Here's the secret to spiritual leadership. So many people think that the key to leadership is to have a position of authority. And we all know people who are interested in positions of authority. Who's got the authority? You know what the secret of leadership is? It's not position of authority, it's the presence of God. It's the presence of God in a man's life, a woman's life. It's the presence of God in the life of a church. It's the presence of God in the life of a family. And what I'm saying is this, the most important thing that we need to pray for, whether it's in the church or whether it's in our family, get this, is for the presence of God in this place and in these people. The secret of spiritual leadership is not a position of authority. It's the presence of Almighty God. And the Lord says to Joshua, "Today, I'm going to show people that I'm with you, just like I was with Moses." And that's going to be the proof of your authority, is the fact that God is with you. And I think that's very significant. I think it's significant that the priests who were carrying the ark were told to put their feet in the water first. And then the water stopped. The leadership of the people of God had to show faith first, which I really think is significant. The people weren't told to have faith. The leaders were told, "You put your feet in the water," and that was no accident. When they touched their feet to the water,
the water backed up. And it's a lesson to me about that when you lead God's people, you've got to demonstrate faith and say, we really believe God can do something. You know, before we started construction on this building, and I don't want to be melodramatic and reading too much into this, but I really believe it's true. Before construction had to start, there was something that had to be done. There were two houses, two garages, and three outbuildings that, whether we like it or not, had to come down in order for something to go up. Something had to come down for something to go up. And again, there's symbolism there. What needs to come down in your life so God can build something up in your life? What needs to come down in the name of Christ and in the power of Christ so that God can do a work in your life and produce something in your life, get this, that never was there before? I want to share with you three uncrossable rivers in your life that I think should be brought up. There's the uncrossable river of a past failure. You need to write this down. The uncrossable river of a past failure. This could be a past moral failure. It could be a financial failure. It could be a business failure, job failure. I mean, the list could go on. Educational failure, whatever. And for some people, that failure has become an uncrossable river. You say, what do you mean by that? They can't get around it. They can't get beyond it. They can't get over it. And it has become, in a sense, an uncrossable river in their life. Is there any past failure in your life that you're haunted by? I think people have things in their life that happen that they've put in the back of their minds, and maybe they can go for years not thinking about it. And they're driving down the freeway, and they see a sign for advertising a business or a product, and there's something in that sign that reminds them about a past failure. There's something they see driving through a town that reminds them of a past failure, and they say, God, I thought I forgot about that. I thought I put that in my part of my past. And I'm here to tell you that God, who helped the people of God to cross the Jordan River at flood stage, can help you get beyond a past failure in your life. Some of us are haunted by the past criticism in your life from someone close to you. You may be haunted by the criticism of a parent, a criticism of a husband or wife, the criticism of a son or daughter, someone in your family, a brother or sister. And that past criticism from time to time rears its head, and you need to cross that and go beyond it and say, that's right, that did happen. But in the power of Christ, I'm crossing the uncrossable river. I'm crossing that past failure, and I'm moving on because I am a new man. I'm a new woman in Christ. Olympic diver Pat McCormick, who won 4 gold medals, would tell her students, you will never become a champion until you learn to fail. You will never become a champion until you learn to fail. Some of us needed to learn the lesson that part of failure is a lesson to be learned. Not something to grieve about for 50 years. It's a lesson to be learned, not something to grieve over for 50 years. Do you have the uncrossable river of a past failure that today, in the name of Christ, I'm going to cross it? Not on my strength, not on my ability, not in my talents or skill set, but I'm going to move ahead through Christ. There's the uncrossable river of an unforgiving spirit. I really believe this is a major issue with people. The uncrossable river of an unforgiving spirit. Let me tell you a powerful story that will illustrate it. For years, Lloyd Ogilvie was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. He used to preach in California at First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, California. I've talked about Lloyd before. But Lloyd has literally traveled from one coast to the other coast speaking, and Annie and I heard him say this in Columbus, Ohio, that he says all over the country, he said, I meet uptight Christian people who walk the straight and narrow, who live clean, moral, decent lives. He said they only have one problem in their lives. They have a list of 10 or 15, 20 people they refuse to forgive. Isn't that interesting? Uptight Christian people walk the straight and narrow, morally pure. The only problem they have in their life is they've got 10, 15, maybe 20 people in their lives that they refuse to forgive. And Lloyd Ogilvie would use a phrase I've never heard anyone use before. I've never heard anyone use it since. He said, I meet so many Christian people whose lives have become garbage dumps. What an expression. Christian people whose lives have become garbage dumps. And he said, their lives are filled with the refuse of unforgiven hurts in their lives. Would somebody describe your life as a garbage dump? Filled with the refuse of unforgiven hurts? It's an uncrossable river for people today who have people in their past that they refuse to forgive. And the person that you're destroying is not them. It's you. It's me. That's what happens when we refuse to forgive. I don't know how many of you remember Corrie ten Boom, the woman who wrote the book, The Hiding Place. She hid Jews in her home during World War II. Her family did. And Corrie ten Boom was a great Christian witness, not only in her country, but all over the world. But Corrie ten Boom was honest enough to admit there was a woman who had hurt her deeply years ago, and she carried some bad feelings toward this woman for years, and she went through the motions, which I think is profitable to do. She went through the motions of saying, Lord, I forgive this woman. I forgive this woman. But she still felt those pangs. She still had those feelings of resentment toward the woman. And she went to her Lutheran minister at the time where she was attending and went sought his counsel. And he used a great illustration. He said, Corey, we have a bell in our church, and every Sunday someone comes early and they pull on that bell with that rope. And every Sunday morning, you know, at whatever time, somebody comes to the church and rings the bell, and then they let go of the rope. But the bell still rings. 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 times, it still rings. And Corey, what you've done in forgiving the woman, you've let go of the rope, but you're still feeling the claps of that bell. You're still feeling the pain. And I thought it was a great illustration that Lutheran minister used. But someone who told this illustration takes that story a step further. He said, the problem is there are people who say they forgive, but they haven't let go of the rope. Still pulling on the rope. And there comes a time in the power of Christ to let go of the rope and to cross the uncrossable river of an unforgiving spirit. Is anyone here today who needs to let go of the rope? Is there anyone here today who needs to cross the uncrossable river of an unforgiving spirit? When someone refuses to forgive another person, they're digging a grave. But the grave is not for the other person. The grave is for them. Would you remember that analogy, that word picture? It's a vivid picture. When I refuse to forgive someone, I'm digging a grave. The problem is I'm not digging a grave for the person I refuse to forgive. I'm digging a grave for myself. And Lloyd Ogilvie would say, how many churches are full of grave diggers? How many churches all over America are filled with grave diggers, and the grave diggers don't realize they're digging their own spiritual grave? I want to give you another uncrossable river, the uncrossable river of an inability to change. The uncrossable river of an inability to change. What does that mean? I'm convinced that there are people that believe that there's something going on in their life they'll never change. And we grant power and authority to things in our lives simply by saying, well, I'll never change, so therefore, there it is. And then what we do, we create almost a god. We put it up on a pedestal and say, that problem in my life will never go away, so therefore I'm just going to accept it. And I want to suggest to you that God is a God of change. That the Lord Almighty is a God who can part the Red Sea and part the Jordan River is a God capable of change. And He's capable of change in your life, and He's capable of change in my life. And maybe someone here today has the uncrossable river of an inability to change. And I'll take it a step further. You not only think you won't change, there's somebody in your family, he'll never change. She'll never change. Do you realize the power that you attach to your to an attitude when you say that? He will never change just reinforces something psychologically in your mind and my mind. God is a God of change. And God is the one who can turn the night into day. God is the one who can take what isn't and make it what is. Remember those verses in the Bible. God can make something out of nothing. And God can create something out of nothing. And the one who can create something out of nothing is the one that has the capacity to make changes in my life and in your life. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a place called Carlsbad Caverns. It's in New Mexico. It's a place that, like Mammoth Cave and other places that you tour, and they take you down into the caverns. And in Carlsbad Caverns, what they do, they may do it at Mammoth Cave too, I've never been there, but they will turn off the lights while you're deep in the cave. And Bob Woods is an author who tells the story about a couple he knew that took their two children, a boy 11 and a little girl 7, to Carlsbad Caverns. There came the moment in the tour where the guide shut down the lights. It was totally dark inside the caverns. The little girl began to cry. She was scared to death. Her 11-year-old brother put his hand around her and said, "Honey, don't cry, don't cry. There's someone here who knows how to turn on the light. There's somebody here that knows how to turn on the light." I want to suggest to you that in the darkness of life, there is someone in your life who knows how to turn on the light. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's the Lord God Almighty. And He can throw light into a dark situation. He has the capacity to bring changes in an unchangeable world or an unchangeable situation. He has the capacity to do that which is beyond what we can even dream or imagine. Did you know the Bible says that the Lord does more than we can even imagine? You can even speculate what the Lord can do. The Lord said, "I can do better than that."
Well, I can honestly say there's probably not a week go by that I don't talk to at least one person who talks about something in their life that's seemingly unsurmountable, uncrossable, to use an expression we've used all this week, like an uncrossable river in their life. They can't get around it. They can't get over it. And yet, if Joshua 3 teaches me anything, God helps people to cross the uncrossable. We've talked about it all week. Listen to the conclusion today of this message from the third chapter of Joshua, crossing the uncrossable rivers of life.
And He can throw light into a dark situation. He has the capacity to bring changes in an unchangeable world or an unchangeable situation. He has the capacity to do that which is beyond what we can even dream or imagine. Did you know the Bible says that the Lord does more than we can even imagine? You can even speculate what the Lord can do. The Lord said, "I can do better than that. I can go one farther, two farther than that," whatever you can dream or imagine. And you may have an unchangeable situation in your life, but you can cross the uncrossable river of an inability to change. Got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. Why? He does the things others cannot do. We're going to talk about this story a little more next week because I think it's such a powerful story, but I want to share this thought with you. Can you imagine the powerful emotional moment as a million people perhaps marched across on dry ground a river that was at flood stage? And I'm not talking about how the children were wowed by that. I'm talking about adults who felt something as they crossed the uncrossable river on dry ground. They realized we're not alone out here in the desert. We're not alone in this journey. The Lord is with us. And I want to suggest to you that the most spiritual moment in your life can happen when you realize that someone's with you and you are not alone. You don't stand alone. You don't walk this life alone. You don't even die alone. You don't even die alone. Did you know the Bible talks about when Lazarus died, it said the angels came and accompanied him to heaven? I love that thought, that you don't even die alone. The Lord sends His messengers to take you to the presence of God. And you don't even die alone, let alone live alone. You're not alone. And the one who helped the Israelites cross the uncrossable river can help you with the uncrossable river of past failure, the uncrossable river of an unforgiving spirit, and the uncrossable river of an inability to change. Let him do it. Let him do it, because he's God. Because he's God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this powerful story. It's one of my favorite stories of all the Bible. And when I say story, I don't mean a fairy tale. I don't mean fiction. I mean nonfiction. This is the real thing. This actually happened. And it demonstrates your power. It demonstrates your capacities that we can't even imagine, to take a river that's at flood stage and literally dry it up so that perhaps a million people could walk across on dry ground and go from one side of the river to the other. What a picture. What a lesson. Thank you for what you do in the uncrossable rivers in our life.
Well, this is a message that I call personal. What do I mean by that? It speaks to you and it speaks to me about things going on in our life. If there's ever a time you'd like to hear a message again or a part of a message you missed, you do know you can go to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Also, to find out how you can become a part of this ministry we call Cross Hope Radio Ministry. God bless.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.